Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Last few services we dealt with the first verse as we looked at the message that God has for His children. For we find, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to Christians, there is a need in every Christian's life to present their bodies to Christ. He redeems your soul, but He wants your body. That's how we serve Him. I cannot serve my Lord just with my head, that is my brain. I have to serve Him with my hands, with my feet, with my lips, with my ears, with my eyes. God wants our body, and He wants you and I to present our bodies to Him, that is, to yield them to Him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our what kind of service? Reasonable service. In other words, this is just what is expected of the child of God. Now, understand, please, that Romans chapters 12 through 16 are the practical section of the book of Romans. Everything that we have learned up through chapter 11 has brought us to this place now where we put feet to doctrine. Doctrine is wonderful. There are a lot of people that can memorize long passages of Scripture and talk about doctrine, but if it doesn't have a practical outworking in your Christian life, it's just words on paper. It's just words on paper. You may be able to make great theological statements, but if you're not living the Word of God, it's just theological statements. We're going to get into verses 2 and 3 today, and I want to share with you, both in the morning and evening services today, four cornerstones of separated Christian living. Four cornerstones of separated Christian living. Now, understand something, please. I know these are very familiar verses. And what happens many times with familiar verses is that we say, oh no, here's another message on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I know that you've probably heard 1,000 messages on this passage of Scripture. Some of them, bless their heart, there's some evangelists that preach, every church they go to, they preach the same message, and it's a canned message. They've done it before, they do it again, it's the same outline and so forth. And I asked the Lord, as I came to these two verses of Scripture, verses 2 and 3, Lord, I don't want to have the same old, same old. I don't want to preach somebody else's message. I want it to be something fresh, something alive from the Word of God. And as I studied this passage, the Lord emphasized some things that Christians, brethren, sisters in Christ, these cornerstones are supposed to be in our lives. And I want to share them with you both this morning and tonight. Four cornerstones of separated Christian living. I want us to read these two verses of Scripture, and then I want you, if you've got a pen with you this morning or a pencil, I'm going to have you underline a couple of things here that set the stage for where we're going on these four cornerstones. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this very familiar passage of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that just because it's familiar, that we would not disdain it. That we would not tune out our hearing today and say, well, I've heard this verse before, I don't need to know any more about it. Lord, your Holy Spirit can teach us afresh important truths that we need, especially in the times in which we live. Lord, there is a great need today for separated Christian living, because today it's so hard to tell the church from the world, because now the world is at home in the church. And we pray that that would not be the case in our Christian lives. Lord, help us for folks to, when they look at us, they see a separated, solid Christian who is not a part of this world, but is separated from it. Separated from unto Jesus Christ. Not just separated from, but Lord, separated unto you. This is the life of the Christian. And we pray, Father, that as we consider these four cornerstones today, that we might examine our hearts to see whether we're more like the world or we're more like Christ. Help us to be honest, Father. Help us not to lie to ourselves. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It will tell us what we want to hear. But Your Word doesn't tell us what we want to hear. It tells us like it is. And we pray, dear Father, that Your Holy Spirit would show us from Your Word those areas that need to be confessed, those areas that need to be cleansed, those areas that need to be put back on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I want you to look, please, at four little tiny phrases that are in these two verses of Scripture that set the stage for the four cornerstones that I want to share with you this morning. I want you to look, first of all, in verse 2, because there are two present imperatives that are given here that I want you to underline. The first one is, be not. That is a present imperative with a negative in the Greek language. Very important, very strong in the Greek. Be not. And then you see in the following phrase, but be. That's another present imperative in the positive. So you've got a present imperative in the negative, be not. And then you have a present imperative in the positive, but be. That's simple to understand, is it not? Very important. The imperative case, and I want to share this with you because this is so, so very important that we get a hold of this. It means the present imperative indicative, be not, means a discontinuance of an action in progress. In other words, as Paul is speaking to Christians or believers here, as they hear his message that he preached thousands of years ago, but we hear today, he is saying there is something that's in continuance in your life that needs to be discontinued. Back last year, they signed into law that on February the 19th, I think it was, that all the television stations across America were to switch from analog to digital. Did it happen? Well, they're beaming it out in both right now because the Congress and their infinite wisdom said we need to go ahead and extend that on to June because there are a lot of people that haven't bought their boxes yet. And, of course, we've got to put out some more federal dollars so that we can make sure everybody gets their boxes because we want them to know what's going on in Washington, right? Boy, I tell you, I don't know. I'm not rushing out to get my box because I really don't know if I want to know what's going on in Washington. What I'm hearing doesn't sound too good right now. But, you know, they had this date that was set in concrete, and so all the television stations across the United States and were changing and buying the equipment they needed to switch to digital, and then they shifted the date off into the future. You know, there are a lot of Christians that live like that. There are a lot of Christians that live like that. They say, I'm going to discontinue what I'm doing that's wrong. And then they come up to that point of discontinuance and they say, I'm going to push it off into the future. No, that's not how the child of God. We are to, as it says, be not conformed to this world. That's the first cornerstone that we're going to see today. The second is, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, present imperative, that's a command form. Instead of being conformed, be ye transformed. This is what you are to begin to continue in. The transformation of your mind. The renewing of your mind. That transformation. That's the second cornerstone. Then the third one, verse 3. We have two infinitive phrases that are given here. These infinitive phrases, the first one comes with an indirect negative, which is very powerful in the Greek language. Notice, please, verse 3, that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's the first one. Not to. Then I want you to say what we're to. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. That's the fourth cornerstone. So let's review them again. The first cornerstone that we're going to see in verse 2, be not conformed. Second cornerstone, but be ye transformed. Third cornerstone, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And then the third one, but to think soberly. Now, isn't it interesting that when God gives a negative, He always gives you what you're supposed to do in place of the negative? God is not left. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but what am I supposed to do? Well, God tells us. You know what the problem is? We don't want to do what He told us to do. I don't want to not be conformed to this world. I just happen to like what's going on. I happen to like what they're talking about. We were speaking the other day about how that our country is sinking deeper and deeper into the pit and morass of filthiness. A sign was seen in New Orleans where the sign basically said, "Relax, it's just sex." That's what the sign said. Relax, it's just sex. In other words, forget about what the Bible says, that sex is to be within the confines of marriage. Just relax! And you know what we're doing in our churches today? You know what we're doing in our churches today? We're just like the world. We've relaxed about that. Brother was telling me about the number of pastors in Michigan. He was naming them one by one. Men that were on the boards of our Bible colleges and universities. Men whose names, if I listed them off, you'd know who they were, that had been involved in immorality. And yet, for the most part, many of them are still preaching today. What's happened? We've relaxed. That's exactly what we've done. We've relaxed. You know, the Bible's a little constrictive. The Bible's too constrictive. It won't let me do what I want to do, and so we're just going to relax. I want to tell you something. When you get to heaven, if you're a child of God, you know what the structure of heaven's going to be? It's not going to be about you. Newsflash. Heaven is not going to be about you. And let me give you a newsflash for right now. This life in Christ is not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Him, His glory and His honor. So you know what we've done? We've restructured. We've said, I'm going to bring glory to God in my own creative way. It's all about Him. But really, it's all about me. And so we list out how we're going to bring glory to God, and it's all about us. That's not honoring to Christ. These four cornerstones crush and destroy modern culture and modern religion's idea about living the Christian life. Simply destroys. The number one cornerstone, the very first thing that Paul talks about here, is a negative. And what is the common church today all about? It's about positive. It's not about negative. Oh, you bunch of crazy fundamentalists, you're all about the negative. Well, wait a minute. We're about what God says is negative and what God says is positive. Amen? He says in His Word, first cornerstone of separated Christian living, be not conformed to this world. Do you have a problem with God's negative this morning? You say, well, I know what you're going to do, Pastor Brainerd. You're going to give us a bunch of don'ts. You're going to give us a bunch of don'ts. No, I'm just going to let the Word speak. Let's look at the words that are given to us here in this particular passage. I want you to listen. As I read an alternate translation from Dr. Kenneth Wiest, Wiest Word Studies, I want you to listen as he brings to life the Greek language. And I want you to follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read slowly, but I want you to catch the nuance of the language. Here we go. Verse 2. And stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but rather is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being in Christ by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will. And having found that it meets God's specifications before placing your approval upon it. You hear a lot today. Oh, this was God's will. This was God's will. God's will for all kinds of things. It hasn't been tested or proven. I want to tell you something. Before you can say this is God's will, has it been tested and proven from God's Word? We're going to look at that this morning. Let's go on. Next verse, verse 3. Listen, Dr. Wiese's translation. For I am saying, through the grace which is given to everyone who is among you, not to be thinking more highly of oneself beyond that which one ought necessarily to be thinking, but to be thinking with a view to a sensible appraisal of oneself according as to each one God divided a measure of faith. Now you just let the word sink into your heart and then examine your own heart and the age in which we are living, and you see some major contrasts. You see some major contrasts. We look like the world. We talk like the world. We behave like the world. We've got immorality in the church today. Unbelievable. Unbelievable immorality in the church today. Where there's no restriction on what we watch on television in our own heart. I'm not talking about a manufactured rule set up by the church. I'm talking about an internal understanding of Scripture that says, I will not go there. I will watch what I bring into my eyes. I'll be very careful what I bring into my ears. I'll be very careful what I say, because God says I'm not to be conformed to the spirit of this age. Now let's look at the first cornerstone. And I call this Christian integrity. Christian integrity. We hear this particular word used in the building industry about the integrity of a building. After the hurricanes, they had inspectors that came into Pensacola Beach, and their one priority was to check the integrity of the buildings. In other words, they were to check to see whether this building is going to fall or if this building is strong enough to stand, if the engineering on it is okay. They're checking the integrity. If the integrity had been compromised, the building had a sign put on it that said, no trespassing. This building is condemned. Why? Because they didn't want someone killed, moving about in it or under it. Because the integrity of that building had been compromised. Now, what is integrity? Integrity is being what you advertise yourself to be. That's simply what integrity is. It's actually being what you advertise yourself to be. If you advertise yourself to be a separated, born-again Christian, are you what you advertise yourself to be? Or is your advertising not matching up with the reality of your life? Christian integrity. Be not conformed to this world. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being in Christ. This is the be not. This is the be not conformed. This is God's negative here. Be not conformed to this world. There are so many things today that pressure you and I to conform to certain expectations which may or may not be biblical. Culture exerts pressure, does it not? Family exerts pressure. Church exerts pressure. Bible colleges and universities exert certain pressure. Religion puts pressure on its adherents. Peers put pressure. I've just named six areas. There are many more areas that we could talk about, but these are the six main ones. All of these are exerting pressure upon you. It's like air. What is it, 14 pounds per square inch? Air pressure, that's what's keeping you from floating off this planet. Gravity, gravitational pull, 14 pounds per square inch. The pressure that's upon your body, internal pressure inside. You can't go over 10,000 feet and you keep on going without a pressure suit. What's going to happen? Internal pressure will cause you to explode because that pressure is not on you out in outer space. You have to have the special suit in order to live. You've got that pressure that's on you. You don't think about it when you get up. Oh, ooh, I feel that 14 pounds per square inch. You don't even know about it. And I want to tell you something, folks. There are people that are perhaps sitting in this church service today and sitting in church services all across America and around the world that don't realize the influence that these areas are having in their life, and it doesn't match up to the influence of the precious Word of God. Okay? Now, did you notice that I did not say anywhere in there the Bible in those six things? Did you notice that? I said culture, family, church, Bible colleges and universities, religion, peers. I didn't say the Bible. Because you know in those six areas, they may or may not line up with what this book says. But they are still pressures that are upon us. And we conform to the pressures that are put about us, do we not? I want to ask you something this morning. What are you conformed to? I'm not asking you whether you're conformed to Grace Bible Church. I'm not asking you if you are conformed to your peers. I'm not asking you, are you conformed to where you went to school? I'm not asking you if you are conformed to religion this morning. You see, you can be conformed to all those things and not be conformed to this book. Do you understand where I'm coming from now? I'm not here to give you a list of do's and don'ts. What I'm saying is you go to this book. That's all I'm asking. Go to this book and you'll know what? You'll find all kinds of things. If you'll get into the book. But your problem is we're too willing to accept what the church says. We're too willing to accept what religion says, what peers say. We'll accept that and we'll conform to that and embrace that. But when it comes to what God says, we're like Peter. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Be not conformed to this world. That word conformed is very important. I want you to see here. Conformity means acceptance. Conformity means acceptance. You know, when I was a kid, we used to play with Play-Doh. I used to love the smell of Play-Doh. Well, I'd get that out, you know, I smell that Play-Doh. I know I'm crazy, but that's I used to love to smell Play-Doh, and we used to make things with it. And you know the one thing characteristic about Play-Doh? It's easily what? Conformable. I mean, you can make snowmen out of it. You can squeeze it out and make a big old long sausage dog out of it. I mean, you can do all kinds of different things with Play-Doh. You can make it into anything you want to. And there are a lot of Christians that are just like that. Their friends can twist them around and get them to do anything they want them to do. Easily manipulated. That's another definition. What are you manipulated by this morning? Are you being manipulated by this book? We're to be flexible and pliable in the hands of God. We're to be manipulated by the Word of God, but you know what? The vast majority of people who make the profession of faith in Christ, you know who's manipulating? Their friends, their church, they're this, they're that, they're other. You could just go down the list. And we conform to the expectations of others. But you know what's to be the standard in our life? The expectation of God and His Word. Our problem is we don't know the Word. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many years you've quote-unquote been saved. If you're not saturating your heart and mind with this precious book on a daily basis, studying and searching, you are going to be conformed and manipulated by anything and everyone. The Bible talks about that, does it not? Moved about by every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes up with a little shade of error and they post it onto a doctrine that's acceptable and we're willing to swallow it. What's wrong with that? We're being conformed. Notice here, please. Conform to the world. Now that world, the word world is not the word cosmos. It's the Greek word aion. A-I-O-N. The word aion. And this particular phrase means culture. How the culture operates. We says this, we are to stop masquerading in the garments of this age, its mannerisms, speech expressions, styles, and habits. That's all wrapped up in this word, ion. Ion. Now, you do not have to fit the culture. That's what we're being told today, but we don't have to. We don't have to fit the culture. Now, understand, styles of dress change. All right? I remember what it was like living in the 60s. I remember the big old huge wide ties that fundamentalist preachers wore and the two-tone shoes. You know, that was what was available. All right? I remember the Hawaiian ties and the crazy, you know, remember the old, what were those kind of suits? They had the big fat lapels. Yeah, leisure suits. I saw them wearing in church. Their styles change. What's the key? Modesty. That doesn't change. In other words, we'd be covered up. Now, styles may change. And there are worldly styles, and generally speaking, isn't this interesting? Worldly styles are also immodest. Isn't that interesting? But there are styles that are perfectly acceptable, that are nice, that look all right. They may change. We're not wearing the same clothes we wore in 1960, are we? We've adjusted, have we not? We're not wearing the same kind of shoes. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the worldliness that emphasizes immodesty, the speech expressions that emphasize off-coloredness in our speech, filthiness. See what I'm talking about? This is what the Bible is dealing with here. Masquerading in the garments of this world, the accoutrements of this world. It's mannerisms. It's speech expressions. I'm troubled when I see youth pastors that are trying to use the slang of culture to teach young people. Well, that's the language they're talking. We'll teach them the right language. Right? Do we want them to spell right? Do we want them to be able to read the Bible? You see, our culture today is diminishing language at an alarming rate. It's diminishing language. We are going to come to the point in this country where everything is going to be signs and pictures and slang. That's where we're going with this. You know what it is? It's satanically inspired because this book is written in language. So what are they going to do to the Bible? What's already been done. These new student Bibles where they take the language of the culture and they put it in the Bible. And you know what happens? The great doctrines of the Scripture are reduced down to slang, guttural gang language. You know what that is? That's being conformed to this world. It's being conformed to this world. Parents, don't buy your kids that kind of garbage. Get them a Bible that has the Word spelled right in it. Get them a Bible that stands true to the fundamentals of the faith. Don't try to fit culture. Don't try to be like culture. That's what's wrapped up in this word, ion. It's the culture of the common time. And isn't it interesting? Culture's always changing. It's always shifting. There's nothing new under the sun, but it goes in cycles. Now let's move on. Christian integrity. R.C. Trench, the great Bible Greek student, said this about ion. The word ion is a word that takes many adjectives to describe. All that floating mass of thoughts, opinions, maxims, speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, opinions, aspirations, at any time current in time, which it may be impossible to seize or accurately define, but which constitute a most real and effective power, being the moral or immoral atmosphere which at every moment of our lives we inhale, again, inevitably to exhale, All this is included in the word ion. Wow. Boy, when I read that, I just had to take a moment to just sit there and think about that. You know, we're all about opinions today, aren't we? That's why we have a blogger's world, a blogosphere. It's my opinion. And we want our billions of opinions to be made known. We want to talk about what we think. We think. We think. We think. But who's talking about what God thinks? You know, I go to the blogosphere and sometimes I'll read these Christian blogs just to kind of keep up with the current thinking today. You know who's setting the agenda? The youth culture is setting the agenda for youth pastors. For preachers, it's the culture of making people feel good about themselves, and so it tempers everything they write. It tempers everything they say. But it's not about what Christ says in His Word. It's not about what God says. It's my opinion. You know what that's part of? It's part of this age. Be not conformed to this age. All of its floating mass of thoughts, opinions, maxims, speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations, at any time current in this world. 10 years from now, if we're still here on this planet, there's going to be a whole set of cultural values. Is there not? It changes. Every decade, we got something new coming down the pipe. Oh, it's not really new. It's just a resurgence of something from the past. We've got to watch ourselves. The Germans have a word for this, by the way, this word ion. I found this very interesting. The word for ion in the German translation is Zeitgeist. And I asked Mrs. Pippert how you say that, because she had 2 years of German in college, and I didn't know how to say it. But Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist means the spirit of the times. So let's read it this way. Be not conformed to the spirit of the times. Zeitgeist. How about it? We have brought the spirit of the times into the church. It's become one of the cornerstones. And you know what happens when the spirit of the age becomes the cornerstone? What happens to the cornerstone that was there before? It gets rejected. Isn't that what the Bible says about Christ? He is the cornerstone that was rejected. He has been rejected. And a new cornerstone has been laid. And you know what it is? It's culture. The spirit of the times. The spirit of the age is the new cornerstone. I found this statement. And I'll tell you where it came from in just a few moments. The modernism of your appearance nullifies the fundamentalism of your doctrine. I'm going to say it again. The modernism of your appearance nullifies the fundamentalism of your doctrine. You know where that statement came from? That came out of the preaching of fundamental pastors and preachers in the 1920s. You remember the loose, roaring 20s? Where everything went, you know, the attitude and dress, attitude, everything was going great, drunkenness, debauchery. That statement came out of that time period. The modernism of your appearance nullifies the fundamentalism of your doctrine. We're facing the very same thing today. This expression shows that Christians have adopted the culture rather than standing against the culture, having adopted the truths of God's Word. Be not conformed to this world. We have lost our distinctiveness, and therefore we have lost our voice to a lost and dying world. What sense does it make to tell people they're sinners when we dress and act and sing and do exactly what they do? What are they lost from if you're just like them? One of the things that God wants us to do is maintain His distinctiveness. We go outside the camp bearing whose reproach? His reproach. We don't go outside the camp to bear our reproach. We go outside the camp, Hebrews tells us, to bear His reproach. But we're not willing to do that today. We're all about escaping reproach. We're all about not being identified as someone who may be considered to be crazy or wacky. because we stand for the fundamental truths of God's Word. We're going to close with this. We'll pick up tonight because we're going to get to the positive aspect. We are not to be conformed to the spirit of the times. That's what the Word of God says here. But what are we to do? We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is where we get in trouble, right here. This is where we get trouble. We think too much. And you know where we're thinking? We're not thinking inside the realms of the Word of God. There is so much thinking to be done inside the Scriptures, but we're not thinking there. You know where we're thinking? We're thinking outside the Scripture, and we're thinking how we can best get the culture to come our way. We're going to get, how can we convince people to come our way of thinking? So what we do is we employ their way of thinking. Does that make any sense? No. Absolutely not. That's why Christ said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You've got to deny yourself. That means your thinking has to be denied. It has to be pitched out. And we are to think biblically. So the first cornerstone is Christian integrity. If you're conformed to this age, you've lost your integrity as a Christian. You've lost your distinctiveness. You have nothing to say to a lost and dying world because you're just like them. You're conformed to the same thing they're conformed to. We are to be transformed, and we'll get into that, Lord willing, tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this is a message that we need for our hearts today. I need this for my heart today, Lord. I pray, dear Father, that we might understand this very first cornerstone, the first one that the Scripture deals with, is a negative. Be not conformed to this age, this time, the spirit of the age. But rather, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, that's a fundamental change. You can't mix two ways of thinking and come out with the right way of thinking. There's only one right way of thinking, and that's the Bible way of thinking. But so many times, Father, we bring our way of thinking and then we interpret the Bible through our way of thinking, and then we end up with, is not your way of thinking, but our way of thinking mixed with your way of thinking. And can a fountain bring forth both sweet water and salt water at the same time? It's not possible. All we do is corrupt and bring to error and to naught the precious Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, help us to examine ourselves today in light of the testimony of your Word. Lord, if we're all about the ambitions and plans and opinions of this culture and this age, then we're not about your plans and your ambitions stated in your Word. It's that black and white. It's that right and wrong. It's that truth and error that shows us where we stand. We ask, dear Father, that your holy Word would work in our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.